Blog Talk Radio.
Television. We'll get to that here in just a minute, but first we're going to do what we always do. We're going to talk about the VFW Post 2908's presenting the Boots and Roots Music Festival on August 4th, 2018 at the Stanley County Fairgrounds. Bucky Covington's going to be there. He's the headliner. Charlie Farley, Daryl Harwood, Tyler Hatley and the Little Mountain Band, and Cuz Coon. The doors will open at 3 o'clock. The show starts at 4. And let's see, admission's $15. You can get tickets at the Post at the VFW 2908 Post in Albemarle, North Carolina. If you want to bring a cooler in for beverages, they're charging $10 for that. Food will be available. The parking's free. Bring a chair. There's not any seating there. Cash only. There's some camping available. I think all of the full-service spots have already been taken, but if you want to inquire about that, the number to call is 704-983-2913, they can tell you all about that. If you have any other questions about the event, you can call 704-984-1744. So anyway, so television, you know, we've been talking about music, we've been talking about movies. There's a lot to talk about with television, and I'll never be able to get anywhere close to the amount of information that could be talked about with television. By the way, if you want to call me, 914-219-0884, we're going to talk about some of my favorites, and you feel free to call in and talk about some of your favorites. To talk about television and talk about the history, we kind of have to go back to radio, and my very first show was we talked about radio because of just, you know, me wanting to help you understand why I wanted to be have a radio show and why I wanted to be involved in radio. So the thing about radio, when it was invented and when it was widespread finally, it allowed everyone to experience an event in real time, where before it might have taken days or weeks before the whole country knew about something. You know, for example, if there was a presidential speech or something happened in Washington, you know, California might not know about it till, you know, at least days or possibly weeks later. So that was the power of radio. And so there goes also that moves over to television. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the history of television, but one thing regarding about the whole country knowing something and everyone being able to experience an event in real time, the one and most obvious event that comes to my mind that we could all experience together that could not have happened without television is July 20th, 1969, when we had the landing on the moon, when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin set foot on the moon. I remember as I believe I was about 5 years old, watching that live on television. So that is definitely a historical event for all mankind, and was able to be shared by everyone that had a television or even a radio. I'm sure it was on radio too, but just being able to see those pictures from the moon, that was an incredible experience. You know, when I was five, I didn't really understand the implications of it, but thinking back about it, I'm glad I got to see it. Another huge event that I have to chalk up to television was a tragic event, of course, 9/11, September 11th, 2001, the World Trade Center was attacked. My job, as most of you know, is I'm involved in the audio-video industry, and the place that I was working, we had TVs everywhere, and somebody said something about a plane had crashed into the World Trade Center, and so, of course, everybody started watching, including me. And, you know, I actually witnessed the second tower getting hit and then, of course, witnessed both towers falling. That was live. Again, you know, the good goes with the bad. I mean, that's part of our history. So, again, let's get into a little history of television. I'm not going to get real deep into it because, you know, it's only a 30-minute show and, we've got a lot to talk about, but the short version of the history of television was between two people, a guy named Philo Farnsworth from Rigby, Idaho. He was a farm boy, and David Sarnoff, who was a major executive with RCA. Sarnoff and RCA actually owned over 2,000 patents for the radio, and they were the king, you know, of the radio at that time. Sarnoff was a sharp guy. He owned all the patents, so most people that manufactured radios had to pay him. So he got paid whether he made the radio or not. Even when his competitors were making the radios, he still got paid for the rights to use those patents. Philo Farnsworth, however, he was a 14-year-old farm boy, and he was a really smart kid, obviously, and he had thought about a way to have, you know, pictures to go with the radio for a long time. Now, granted, he was 14, but, you know, when he was old enough to start studying science, he was inspired. Now, this is incredible. He was inspired by the looking at the plow rows in the field on his family farm. The way television works, and I think most of you at least know the basics of this principle, if you remember, especially the old tube TVs, there's lines, just repeated lines. There's just hundreds of lines, depending on the resolution of the image on your TV, and that was his inspiration. He got that idea from looking at the plowed field and the plow rows, and that was around... That was in the early 20s. So, anyway, Farnsworth, Philo, shared his idea. He finally, you know, drew out the circuitry, and he shared it with his science teacher, and his science teacher was amazed and didn't truly understand it, but he knew that he was onto something great, and he told him to protect that idea, to not just trust anybody. So, he worked on that idea, and finally he moved out to California, and he shared his idea with some investors, and the Crocker family, who was actually the ones that started the Transcontinental Railroad, they invested $25,000 for him to give him, you know, money to develop his idea. Of course, they wanted 60% share in the company, but anyway, so he developed his idea. He got a prototype. They invited the press to come see his prototype around 1928. And when David Sarnoff, RCA guy, saw this, he was like, "Uh-oh, we're in trouble," because he wanted to be the king. You know, he wanted to have. He knew there was a lot of money involved in this, and so he actually. They were working on TV, but they didn't have a solid idea yet or a solid patent yet, a working television yet like Farnsworth did. So Farnsworth was going to get his idea manufactured with Philco. That company may sound familiar to some of you. And they were going to do it, but since Sarnoff owned all the patents again to the radio, Philco was a radio maker, he threatened them with not letting them use his patents if they manufactured Farnsworth's TV. So he played dirty pool Okay, so then Farnsworth sues him. He wins the case in around 1935 as the inventor, but then Sarnoff keeps him tied up in court, for years, until finally Sarnoff has an idea, or they have a working model, but they still have to use some of the circuitry that Farnsworth had come up with. So they were going to pay Farnsworth for the patent, and so finally Farnsworth was going to make the money he had dreamed of from his idea. But fate happened. December 7th, 1941 happened, and I think we all know what happened then. Pearl Harbor. And so all the manufacturing for things like, fancy TVs came to a stop, and because all the efforts went into the war. And so that whole thing was put on hold for 6 years, if I can talk here. And unfortunately, his patents expired in 1946, so he didn't get a red dime. And RCA won out in the end, and they sold 10,000 TVs the first year that they produced TVs. And they're the ones that actually started NBC, the National Broadcasting Network, and that most of us are familiar with, one of the big three. So that's the history. That's a brief history of television. Usually the one that's got the deepest pockets win, unfortunately, even though Farnsworth was the one that actually came up with the original idea. Call me. We're going to talk about just some of my favorite TV shows. I mean, going back as a kid, but I want you to call me with some of yours, 914-219-0884. Feel free to call anytime. If I'm in the middle of talking about my stuff, I want to hear about your stuff too. So some of the current TV shows that I watch, and I know I'm not even going to touch the iceberg because there's so much TV available today. One of the first ones that comes to mind, I was talking to my wife, was The Walking Dead, because we watched that pretty regular. We don't miss an episode. We watched Orange is the New Black, which is a Netflix thing, and we're going to talk about, some of the differences in streaming and broadcast TV. We also watch one that's called Wentworth on Netflix, which you may not have heard of. Most people probably heard of the Orange is the New Black, but Wentworth is actually a women's prison show also, but it's an Australian show. That's kind of interesting to watch Australian television. Another one that we watch, which is a real super popular show, is The Big Bang Theory. We just have that on all the time when we're not really watching. We just want something on, and, we're just hanging out. And we started watching Mom, another sitcom that comes on at night, really funny. Last Man Standing, we like to watch that. So there's so many that, I know I'm not going to, touch the surface, but that's just a few of some of the ones that, are some of my current favorites. Call me and tell me about yours, 914-219-0884. That's 914-219-0884. So going back as a kid, I was trying to go back in my memory banks and just think about some of the TV I watched as a kid, and I really thought of some old stuff. And I do have to say my all-time favorite, before I forget this, is the Andy Griffith Show. I think that's probably my all-time favorite TV show. I can watch that show, there's no telling how many hundreds of times I've watched each episode. Now, let me qualify that. The ones that are black and white, the ones that's got Barney Fife in them, the ones that are in color are not that great. But all the ones that are in black and white with Barney, those are awesome. So, anyway, now that I've said that, that's my very favorite. Get that one out of the way. Growing up as a kid, of course, every Saturday morning watching the cartoons, we watched Bugs Bunny. And then in the Bugs Bunny, I think there was the Pink Panther and there was a lot of others. I remember getting up to go to school and there was Lippy and Hardy. Maybe not too many of you remember Lippy and Hardy, but that's a little cartoon. And then there was Wally Gator. And then Rocky and Bullwinkle, and then Mr. Peabody and Sherman. We got a caller. I'm gonna just take this call, and let's see if we can hear from them. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hey, Stan. This is J.R. Griffin from Albemarle. How are you, bud?
Hey, J.R., how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm glad you called in. Thanks for listening.
No, listen, this is pretty impressive. I logged in late. I was trying to find out how to log in, but you're talking some of those all those different movies and TV shows you were talking about me, and that brings back great memories.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember the old cartoons Mighty Mouse?
I do. Yeah, that's a
remember
real
how he
old
would
one.
Slice that cheese?
I don't know if I remember the cheese slicing, but I do remember the song, you know, the title, you know, I am here to save the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then in the beginning, he would fly through the moon, and it would slice off in the cheese. But my all-time favorite is Andy Griffin, man. I love that show.
Yeah, that was mine. I don't know if you tuned in time, but, yeah, that's my very favorite, number one, always will be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's classic. And, well, I just wanted to call in and say hello to you. And this is so awesome that you got this time to talk about something you love. I mean, it's great. I think it's incredible. But I got to ask you one question.
Okay.
The person who invented television, can you imagine what his mindset was? How far advanced he was? I mean, he had to know there had to be a camera to have television. I mean, what do you think about that?
Right. Well, I mean, the Philo, you know, the kid, he was you know, definitely ahead of his time. And, you know, it just like a mic, you have to have a microphone to have a radio, you know, so the camera's kind
right.
of the, you know, the equivalent to the microphone when you have, you know, radio or audio. So, you know, he knew he had to have something going in before it could come out. And, you know, yeah, obviously an average person would never even be able to, you know, we kind of take those things for granted because we've got, you know, we've got little video cameras on our phones now, you know. And
yeah.
But that's a good point. That's a very good point. He was way ahead of his time.
Yeah, he definitely had a vision, and he made a lot of people happy, a lot of people, just like radio. I mean, who'd have thought you stuck a wire here, stuck a wire there, and sound comes out of a speaker? I mean, those guys, geniuses.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. One thing about Philo Farnsworth, he did live to actually see the broadcast from the moon when man landed on the moon. I had actually, some of my research, I'd actually watched this documentary called American Genius, and there was an episode about Farnsworth versus Sarnoff, and they mentioned that he actually did get to see that. So even though he didn't make a lot of money from it, or probably hardly any, he did get to see, you know, his vision was that everybody could have that technology. So he, you know, he would have loved to have the money, of course, but, you know, his satisfaction was just the fact that it existed and he started it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's impressive. Well, okay, Stan, good talking to you. And next week I'll study up and I'll call in again next week. But I appreciate what you're doing, and I wish you the greatest success in this. And thank you for taking the time to do this. This is awesome stuff, man.
Well, thank you for listening, JR, and we'll hear from you again.
You will.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one, Sam.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. So that was JR. That's one of my good friends here in our local town, Albemarle, and thank him for calling in. He kind of gave me a heads up when I had told him about me doing the show that he would be listening in, and JR, you know, he don't mind chatting, so I figured he might call in. And yeah, thank you, JR. So anyway, I was talking about some cartoons, and let's see, Touche Turtle. And then I have to mention, and this is probably up there, and well, it is one of my all-time, up in the top five, I should say. You know, Andy Griffith is still number one, but the Three Stooges. And that, you could do a whole show on the Three Stooges, because they were ahead of their time, and they were actually the Horowitz brothers, but they went by Howard because of the prejudice back in those days. And but anyway, the Three Stooges were definitely one of my favorites. The Little Rascals, the Flintstones. The Flintstones is a cartoon, and I'm pretty sure most of you are familiar with the Flintstones, but the Flintstones was actually a cartoon that was kind of written for adults. I mean, kids could enjoy it too, because I remember my dad and I used to watch the Flintstones, and we both could laugh and enjoy the humor, because it was basically just an animated version of the Honeymooners, you know. If you're familiar with the Honeymooners, I know you older folks are. And then the counterpart to the Flintstones was the Jetsons. You know, you had the Stone Ages cartoon, and then you had the Jetsons, which is in the future. And then I mentioned earlier I like the Pink Panther, which was actually, I think, under the Bugs Bunny umbrella. That was one of the cartoons they would play under umbrella. Another classic from being a kid was Lassie. You know, kind of a real corny show, but, you know, when you're 5 years old, man, you love it. You know, we always make jokes when a dog barks, you know, about Timmy being trapped in the well and all that. So, you know, feel free to call me again. I'd love to hear from you. 914-219-0884. That's 914-219-0884. Tell me about your favorite, or, you know, just if you have any comments. Beverly Hillbillies. Love the Beverly Hillbillies. And going back to Andy Griffith, one of the spinoff shows from Andy Griffith was Gomer Pyle, USMC. Gomer was one of the characters from the Andy Griffith show, and there was a spinoff. And I think, you know, most of you that are my age or older would know about that show. I loved Gomer Pyle. He was just, you know, that was funny. Green Acres, that was actually a spinoff from the Beverly Hillbillies. And then there was Superman. There was actually a TV show, Superman, and that was done in the late 50s, but it was one of the earlier color. It started out in black and white, but there was a color version. It came out in color. I always loved watching Superman. I always thought if I bought the Superman outfit in the Sears catalog as a kid, I'd picture myself, I could fly around. You know, all I needed was the suit. You know, so Batman, you know, from the 60s, you know, the old Batman TV show, Adam West, really campy show, but they had great sets, and they had a lot of people that became really famous stars were on Batman. The Green Hornet, kind of, I guess, by the same producers of Batman. Let's see, Star Trek. That was kind of a leading edge, or they were kind of a newer show of, well, they were in the future, but Star Trek was actually produced by Desilu Productions, which was one that I was going to mention next. I Love Lucy. So Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were producers, and they actually produced a Star Trek show. One of my favorites as a teenage kid, you know, when I was like 12, 13 years old, was the $6 million man, you know, the Bionic Man. You know, he had one bionic arm, two bionic legs, and a bionic eye, you know, and he could do all kind of super things. And another one that was really cool was Kung Fu. I like Kung Fu. It always had a good message, and David Carradine was really good in that role. He was a real martial artist, but, you know, it was basically, he was a passive individual, but if anybody ever cornered him, you know, they would end up on the wrong end, or the bad end of that fight. Another of my favorites was Columbo. Pardon me, there's just one more thing. I always loved Columbo. I could watch those reruns forever. So call me. Tell me about your favorite. 914-219-0884. Going back, again, I know I'm going back and forth as far as timeline. These are definitely not chronological in order, but that's just not the way my mind thinks. I would just think of these in this order. But Mr. Ed, you know, the talking horse, Hogan's Heroes, I loved Hogan's Heroes, Get Smart, Flipper, that was kind of a corny show, but, you know, when you're a little kid, you like, you know, seeing dolphins save the day. F Troop, Partridge Family, the Brady Bunch, Wild Wild West. That was a fantastic show. That was probably my all-time favorite Western because it was kind of a, you know, they did all these cool things, you know, James West. He had all these gadgets, kind of like a James Bond in the Wild West. I have to mention Gilligan's Island. Loved Gilligan's Island. Ginger or Marianne. I was always a ginger guy myself. Bewitched. And then I Dream of Jeannie was kind of the counterpart from the other network. The Munsters, and then the counterpart was the Addams Family. So, I mean, just tons and tons. Most of those were from like the 60s and 70s. Let's see, there was My Favorite Martian. If I'm ringing a bell for anybody, I'd love to hear from you. We've got about 3 minutes left, 914-219-0884. My Three Sons. Okay. Petticoat Junction. That was a spinoff from the Beverly Hillbillies. There were several shows that were spun off from the Beverly Hillbillies. The Twilight Zone. Imagine, if you will, Average Joe has a radio show. The Outer Limits. Lost in Space. And there's actually, speaking of Lost in Space, there was a movie, but there's actually a new version of Lost in Space. It's on Netflix, and I've been watching it. I've actually watched all the episodes now. I think there was like 10 episodes to start with, or 8, I don't remember. But, yeah, it's actually pretty good. I'd recommend it. Happy Days, The Fonz, you know, hey, and MASH. That was one of my favorites because one of the few shows you see about the Korean War. The Incredible Hulk, Wonder Woman, you know, I'm into the superheroes, and Linda Carter, you know, she'll always be Wonder Woman to me. Sanford and Son, I love Sanford and Son. So we've got a couple of minutes here, I know I run through those pretty quick, but, you know, we don't have a lot of time, so I had to, but you still can call me if you want to, 914-219-0884. So we kind of have, you know, TV has come a long way. We have to, you know, what defines TV now? Because we've got, you know, broadcast TV. You can still put up an antenna, and if you got a TV, you can tune in, and actually you can get high-def TV now, you know, with just a TV and an antenna. You can have pictures that look as good as what you used to have cable for. And then, there, of course, there is cable. You know, there's satellite. You can have satellite receivers. And then now even have streaming. So you've got YouTube, you've got Netflix, you got Hulu, you've got Yahoo, you got Amazon, and a bunch of others. So TV is just, you know, not the same as it used to be. In the last 10 years especially, it has really changed, high def and being able to stream and all that good stuff. But, you know, I've really enjoyed talking, and I appreciate it, our one caller calling in. Next week, I haven't really thought about next week just yet, but I will be posting it, as I usually do, on Facebook to let you know. But, again, I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank you for listening in the past and listening in the future. We're going to try to do this every Sunday. So feel free to listen and call in, and we're out of here.